Amen. Exodus chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 11. While I've been sitting there, I've been thinking about other stuff as well. And that is the, we have 2, 3, 4, 5. We have 5 men in this church that have surrendered to preach and have went the next level and went to school and got extra stuff, been mentored by people that can fill this pulpit as well at any time. And I would say this, and I haven't been around Caleb that long. I don't know how in-depth they go down there with that, but any one of those men, I believe, and I say this confidently, as somebody that will stand with other men at one time and be responsible for their ordination, that they could pastor a church or they could be a missionary successfully. And I say that, and that's rare as well in a church. You don't have a deep pool. And then we have how many deacons? 1, Brother Matt, Brother Joe, Brother Jim, Brother Mike. Is it just 4 or there's 5? Bill, Brother Bill. Any one of those men could get up in this pulpit in the absence of those 5 men and give a very solid devotion. Our life's supposed to, everybody's a preacher. Everybody's a preacher. You are preaching the gospel in action, deed, or whatever. I'm against women pulpit fillers. Or I shouldn't say I'm against, the Bible's against that. But we're all preachers of the gospel. Our life is a living epistle, known and read of all men. And all those deacons could get up here and give. Now, every father in this church should be able to get up here and do that as well. Amen. And then there's several other people. Brother Colossus, a lay preacher in the church. That's pretty good. That's pretty solid for a church like this. And I appreciate this. Jacob made a statement the other night when he was preaching, and I want to correct that statement. He didn't make a wrong statement. He just made an out of context statement. He said, I appreciate you tolerating me or putting up with me or allowing me to make mistakes. He is, in my personal opinion, and all the other men that stand in this pulpit would fall under, I believe, scriptural eldership kind. They can get up here, they can lead a church, and they can do what needs to be done. They're past that stage of saying, thank you for tolerating me. They get up here and they fill that successfully. Jacob Inman's 27 years of age, and I would put him up against many men in my circles and could do it successfully. Some men I've sat under, I just want to hit the back door. And so I know they say that out of gratitude, but they don't need to say that anymore. They are one of many that fill this pulpit. There is one pastor, but there's others that are elders, if you will, that help fill that. And I want our church to understand that. Yes, they've made mistakes, but I do too. I make a lot of mistakes and you tolerate me, so I appreciate that. But I appreciate these men. And I was saying to somebody, was it you and Brother Mike the other day? The last 2.5 years have probably been the hardest years of my entire life as a Christian. And personally, not pastorally. And I told Brother Baldwin the other day, I said, man, I need a victory somewhere. And I just need, there's so much unsuccess, can I say that, around us? I just needed to see success, and I was sitting on the lawnmower the other day, and God said, well, you can't see the forest for the trees. And I said, how so? And then he began to show me all those things, and I still remember Mark Menengos as part of the praise team when I got here. And so the Lord's done a mighty work here, and I appreciate that, and I'm thankful. Now, that doesn't mean I'd like to see some victories in my personal man, my physical man, but I'm thankful for that. We have a very, very tremendous church. Joe, all you got to do is travel, huh? I sent Joe a text message one day before he started the journey of going to preacher's fellowships down south, and I said this to him. I said, embrace the paneling. Embrace the paneling. Now, you don't know what that means. And Joe went to, Joe and I are on Life 360 together. 46-year-old man's on Life 360 with his pastor. I looked, and he was down in Florida somewhere, and I zoomed in. I knew the church, and then I went to their website, and as soon as I opened up their website, paneling. I took a screenshot of that picture, and then I sent it to Joe while he was in the thing. And, you know, we live in a day where all these food businesses and restaurants, they want. And I'm not saying Christianity is about image. But, man, we ought to, when the Queen of Sheba come to see Solomon in all of his glory, she said, man, the half ain't even been told. We ought to present the best. It ought to be looking the best. And I said all that to say this. Some churches, it's just a social club. I appreciate the social aspect of our church, but it needs to be a spiritual club. And we want something to go past this. We've all, if we've lived in this area any length of time, have seen the demolition of ABT. Jacob Inman was in my office the other day, and I showed him. Brother Alex gave me their book. And there was a picture in there. It was just knee-deep, man. Thousands. Not dozens, thousands sitting in an auditorium. Not to be. And so this is just as important as the pulpit's just as important as the pew. And so we all do our part and we're good. Amen? Hebrews 11. Let me say this as well, moms. Happy Mother's Day. For those that have a mother still, appreciate her. Amen. There's conflict in the Lovett house some days, probably the Cook house and maybe even the other Lovett houses. This is Mother's Day. It's not Wife Day. All right? If you have a mother, appreciate her. All right? Did I help you men out there? Did I help anybody out there? And I know she's a mom. I appreciate it. I don't want her to celebrate Father's Day. And so, but you young people out there today, go take your mom somewhere. Do something with her. We're going to give you time. If you're a Rockneys person, you better go today. Right, Miss Linda? Is today the last day? Today's the last day of Rockneys up there on the corner. It's going to be something else and probably a place you don't want to go. My heart's broken because that's a go-to for me. I've probably eaten there more than any place in my entire life, probably. And so it is what it is, and I'll just have to find another place, amen? But go there. And then, so we've got a present for you, Mom, and we've got, because we're a progressive church, we've got a little, what do you call that, Alicia? Photo booth. It's not a booth. When we, older generation, thinks of a booth, we think of a telephone booth. You go in it, you shut the door, and we didn't have this thing, young people, you carry around. You went in a booth and shut it, and put change in this little slot, and did this kind of stuff. You actually had them on the streets anyways. So there's a photo booth, and we start with moms, okay, for the cookies back there. And Christina, and I think it was a couple years ago I preached on it's not about the crumbs or something like that, and the woman that had the crumbs at the table. And so take a photo with your mom. I do not have, shoo, man, I didn't think it hit me like that. I do not have a photo of my mother and I together. I wish I had one. Don't have a lot of photos of my mom. Been gone many years, but take a photo with your mom back there. Or take a photo with somebody that's a mother figure to you back there. And then get you a cookie. And then if there's anything left over, then it's men. It's not the little kids anymore. I think these little kids are saying, Evelyn said yesterday, oh, tomorrow's Mother's Day. And I said, what's that mean to you? You're not a mother. She said, no, that's when they give out cookies. I said, no, that's when they used to give out cookies. And so we have them back there. A lot of churches do different things. You know, we used to, I think when I first came here, I was suggested, this is what we do every year. We get flower baskets, five of them. And it was the one with the oldest kids or how many kids. And we know who used to bring in all the exchange students to try and win that. I was thinking about revising that this year. Who's the tallest mom? Who's the shortest mom? Who's the widest mom? Who's the narrowest mom? And then God said, man, I don't know if that'd go over well. So, you know, who's the most photogenic mom? Who's the not most photogenic mom? And so, I mean, you got to shake this thing up, Alicia. You can't just always do oldest, youngest, most kids, right? You got to, right, John?
Yes, sir.
And so I, the more I thought about that, I thought they'd start picking from the Timothy guys on who's the next pastor. So I just decided to do cookies. So that's the thing. And then the guys like the cookies too, but we might do something different for the guys this year. Amen? All right, we there? My goodness, it's already 11:20. We should just pray and let you go? All right. Who said yes? If I let you, who said what? Your mom? Joe's already told me they're not taking, Karen and Joe are not taking you anywhere today.
I'm taking myself.
Oh, okay. Hebrews 11 and verse 23. Hebrews 11, now we know this is a hall of faith. Many people are mentioned by name. If you want a hero, find them in chapter 11 or the rest of the Bible. Don't go trying to find them in the WNBA or the NBA or any of those BBAs and all those digital or acrostics or whatever. Find one in the Bible. In verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, names him, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Because, why was he hid? Because he was as ugly as homemade soap. No, he wasn't. Amen. Why? Because he was a proper child. They saw he was a proper child. I wish I could figure out what that really meant in the eyes of mom and dad. The potential, maybe. Maybe if I was right now, I'd say, and they saw that he was a child with potential. I don't know. Power. I don't know. There's so many things I could think of when you see a. I mean, I've said it before. Don't be so critical of people sometimes. They started out in someone's hands in a nursery. Just depends on who held them. What was it? Who was it that was Mephibosheth? Started out in a nursemaid's hands, and then because of grandpa and dad, he was dropped. And then he carried around a debilitating, crippling physical factor for the rest of his life. And then David, who was a picture of God, or a picture of the Lord, showed up and helped him and sat him under his table, under the king's table with a tablecloth covering everything that had been broken. And so they start out that way. Then if you just go back to Exodus chapter 2, I said, and verse 1, we find out who this was, who these parents were. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 2, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. That's where we get the Levites, Aaron being the high priest, first high priest. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, the Bible says goodly there, proper in Hebrews, goodly child, she hid him 3 months. She hid him. I'm sure they both had a part in it, but she had a big part. She hid him 3 months, and when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. If you've ever seen that, what was it, the Ten Commandments? Was that the old movie? Cecil B. DeMille, Ten Commandments, and you see that taking place and all that. That always comes to mind. I loved watching that movie as a child. And I always envision that when I see this right here. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself. What a coincidence, isn't it? Amazing how coincidences happen. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now, this is at the time frame when Pharaoh is demanding that all these mothers, the Hebrew women, sacrifice their children to him. And they basically, instead of putting them in an ark in the River Nile, they toss them into the River Nile for the alligators to eat them. And if you've ever watched Discovery and seen what alligators do when the wildebeest cross, that's exactly what's taking place there. Isn't it terrible, the society they lived in then? I could fast forward to today, and it's not a river we're tossing them into.
Right. Right.
But they're still being tossed in for the crocodiles to eat them up. Public school being a one place that happens. Then said his sister, verse 7, to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee. Boy, oh, Miriam, look at her. What a coincidence that she just decided to volunteer that, huh? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, we're supposed to be smarter than the world, not walking around looking like we're confused. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go, and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Now she gets paid to do what she was already supposed to be doing as a mother. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Boy, that must have been tough. Same toughness probably as Hannah had. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Father, we'd ask you to help us today as best as you can. I shouldn't say that. You will provide our help, the best help that we could have. It's us that needs to understand it and do something with it. So help us, Lord, with the help that you provide us, whether we be a son or whether we be a husband or whether we be just a listener. The message is not just for us, or women rather, but for all of us. So help us, I plead. If somebody doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that you speak to their heart. If somebody didn't have good parents, doesn't mean they don't have to be a good parent. So help us to see if somebody thinks that times are too tough to raise children, we see in this text that that is dispelled as well. So wherever our need is today, Lord, we ask that you open our ears to it and our hearts to receive it and speak to us as only you can, I plead. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, as I said already, it's that time of year again, a time for us to take a day and celebrate what we call Mother's Day. I've said it before, so it doesn't need repeating, where the tradition started, but nonetheless, I'm glad that it did start. You aren't looking at much this morning, but all that you are looking at was because of a mom that loved as best she could with what she had. She may not have taught me about the Lord, but she taught me enough about life and hard knocks that I'm forever indebted to her. I would love to hear, and I had it for a period of time on a phone I had, a voicemail from her, and she would always say at the end of our talking, I love you, kiddo, was what she said. My mom never, first time I ever heard my mom say I love you was when I was in a permanent party after boot camp, and I called back home, and I just said it. I don't know why, but I said it to her on the phone. Love you, Mom. Another one of them pay phones outside the barracks, and she paused for this long period of time. And you know, anybody that's of old age in here, that wasn't a word you tossed around in homes a lot of times. I think it's a word that needs to be tossed around, not just tossed around, but demonstrated in our homes nowadays. But she would never say goodbye. She would always say, I'll see you later, kiddo. And so I was thinking about that today. And she might not have been much, but she taught me a lot about life, and I'm forever indebted to her. For those that have a godly mother, appreciate them. Appreciate them. I saw something the other day. Once you move out of the home, you only have so many times on average how many times you'll go back home or see somebody, and it's limited. And if we knew that, even though it might be 20 years, Caleb, before you your mom passes away, or I'm not dating 20 years, I'm just saying, out of those, this person did the math of it, there's only a handful of times. And so appreciate them. Take them to Rockne's today. Amen. Do something with him. I really struggled this morning to settle with what to preach on, and so I looked through my files in my computer at what has already been said here on this day, this Mother's Day, in hopes to inspire a thought, and I looked through each one of them. I'm a title guy, and so the title would attract me, and I looked at the meat of the message. So far, 2013, my first year, I preached a mom who made an internal impact. That was Mary. I preached on Mary, and she made an internal impact, what Mary did, and I won't re-preach that. 2014, I preached out of Proverbs 31, and I preached a message called The Model of a Magnificent Mom. If you want to know what a mom looks like, don't look around. Other mothers are not your example. They can help, The best example is found in the Bible. Our comparison is Scripture, not each other. And then in 2015, I preached a message called A Miracle-Making Mom, and we looked at the woman of Canaan. 2016, we looked at this woman, Jochebed, that we'll discuss today, but I preached a message called A One-of-a-Kind Mom, and I believe she was a one-of-a-kind mom. The next message I preached was A Godly Mother, looking at the mom in Proverbs 31 again, and that was somewhere between the years of 2017 and 2019. A couple of years I must have ignored moms, or I lost the messages on my PC because I had some PC issues. I couldn't find 17, 18, and 19. And I'm not always tied down to a specific holiday. Sometimes I might come in and just preach anything. Maybe that had been the year and I lost that file. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. I'm not sure. Okay. All right. And then in 2020, some of y'all need some help, man. You either need medication or you need a merry heart, one or the other. And in 2020, I preached a message called Defining Moments of a Devoted Mother. And we looked at the Shunammite woman out of the book of Kings with Elisha. 2021, I guess COVID didn't mess me up. We stayed open, so we still kept preaching to moms. I preached in 2021 regarding Jesus at the cross. I flipped it a little bit this year. Instead of the moms, I focused on the children. And I preached a message called Lessons from a Son Who Loved His Mom. I don't know if you remember that. And I dealt with Jesus at the cross in his most difficult moment. He is making sure that his mother's being taken care of. In a day where nursing homes are, you know, they're making a new one up here. Vitalia's expanding their stuff. In a day where we call Corbin and shove him off somewhere else, Jesus said, that ain't going to happen with me. And John stepped up. And then the next year, I preached in 2022, looking at Mary again, I preached a message called A Mother God Can Use. And I'm saying these all for a reason. And then in 2023, this is where we birthed the idea, or somebody birthed it, on the cookies, and we preached a message called A Conversation Concerning Crumbs with that lady that said, the master, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the table, and she had some mighty things that we could learn. And then last year, best I can figure, I merged our study in John, and we looked at the elect lady. And as I was looking through things, it seems like there's been a thorough overview from Scripture and this pulpit to assist ladies in this church to be the best mom that God would have you to be. Now, there's going to come a day, and I know we always say moms get the break on Mother's Day and dads get the beating on Father's Day, but there's going to come a day that everything that's said to a mom, scriptural or otherwise, will come into account. And so I'm going back on all the messages, and I looked at them, and, you know, Brother Mike, I keep all those things you send to me on Sunday. There's content in there. There's you put a lot of emphasis into that, and I read those things, and it shouldn't fall on deaf ears. If you just take those 13 messages, there are 12 messages in those years that I've been here, 13 to today, what kind of mom could you be? Compared to what kind of mom are you today? And so if you're not that kind of mom, and the best mom that you should be, if you're not, I hope in this day we live in where it is rampant, where moms aren't, and I could give news report after news report where people just... I was reading one the other day, I think it was Florida, Miami, Florida, and there was two kids less than 3 years of age just running around the neighborhood with diapers on. They took, did you read that? Took them back to somebody in the neighbor, grabbed them, knocked on the door, and she was too busy doing whatever she was doing. That's the moms. I could tell you moms that take babies that are born and try and flush them down a toilet and everything else. And then we could talk about the decisions in the political system that have been made that it's almost like some kind of birth control, whether you want to do what you want to do with them. I say, how about stop doing what you're doing and wait. And preserve that and be a chaste virgin until God says you can marry somebody. Either way. And regardless of what, if you're saved and in church, you have no excuse not to be the mom God would have you to be. And regardless of what filters, frames, and photos some mamas can post on social media, your comparison is not to each other. It is to the Word of God that He leaves each of us with and equips us with the Holy Ghost of God to accomplish it. The Holy Ghost will help us to be the fathers we're supposed to be, and the Holy Ghost will help us to be the mothers we're supposed to be, so that we can form families that the Holy Ghost of God can fill, and we can be in churches that the Holy Ghost of God can use to help other people that don't have families. America's destruction started not at the White House, it started at the house. When the family fell apart, that's when this country fell apart. And our country can only be helped, not by a presidential candidate, but by strong biblical homes. That's why it is so important, ladies. Please don't think I'm attacking you. That's why it's so important. When God says, and I know a lot of people laugh at this, that she is to be a keeper of the home, that is not an insult to your intelligence. That is not an insult to your character. That is not an insult to your potential and what you could do. And I'll be honest with you to say this. As a pastor that's done this for 30 years, it is easier to work with women than it is to work with men. Women are more efficient. They strive for excellence way more than men do. And we see that in society today, in our banks and in our systems and everywhere else. And it's sad, because the sadness is not on their part, the sadness is on our part, because so many men, God couldn't find a man to stand in the gap, so Dinah had to do it. And so that is not an insult to say a keeper of the home. God is the picture, the father is a picture of God in the home, the children are a picture of Jesus Christ in the home, and the mother is a picture of the Holy Ghost of God equipping and helping and providing for that home. So don't forget that. No matter what filters, frames, or photos some moms can post, and they love it. They put the music to it and the filters, and it's you sit there and go, boy, I wish I was that kind of mom. Find it here. Don't find it there. And so in a day when our society is failing because of fathers and mothers are failing, during this time of year, in the condition of what the average mom is, if you've looked around lately, I could go about anywhere this morning in Scripture, I believe, and preach a message on what's taking place. I then started pondering between the Scriptures and what's been said here already while meditating upon a mother that stands out to me. This woman has always stood out to me. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of moms that stand out to me in Scripture. I'm very dogmatic about the next statement I'm going to make, though. As I ponder the path that I've read in the Scriptures, where would we be, where would we all be today without the moms that Scripture recorded? I mean, there's many of them. There's moms that had difficult pasts that are in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible gives us encouragement, at least, doesn't matter where you come from, you don't have to end up there. And so, if you're a lady in here this morning that may not have had the best example, there's no excuse when you take a closer look at the examples that are found in the Word of God. As I've done on more than one occasion, looking for fathers I could follow, ladies, there are plenty of great examples of how to be a godly mom that are found in Scripture. And none more than the one I want to look at this morning real quickly, and that is Jochebed. In many ways, for me, she stands far above all others. Her name means glory of Jehovah. And now that we look at it on this side, it appears that she fulfilled her name. No idea where it came from or who gave it to her, but it was given justly. For when you look at what she accomplished, it is amazing. And her life definitely, definitely glorified God. And you don't hear her mentioned by name in Hebrews. You just have to know who that is. But you have Moses mention my name. And there's a lot of great people today. The Matthew Henry commentary is from Matthew Henry. But nobody knows who his dad is. But his dad would sit down and read the Bible to him and comment on the Bible to him. And thus it birthed the Matthew Henry commentary. We shouldn't care whether our names are mentioned. We should care whether theirs are further advanced than ours. And Jochebed was one of those. Scripture records three children that Jochebed had. She may have had more, though. They weren't mentioned in Scripture. I believe under the circumstances and what history records, she may have wanted more. We don't know what the conditions were like there. They could have been like China, where you can only have, is it one child in China still? I thought it was one child, and then what? This is really what takes place in China while so many people are sympathetic of them and all that they do. They get a choice when they have that child, when it comes out, whether they want a boy or a girl, and they end the life of the one they don't want. Enjoy America. And then bite your tongue when you see these protesters doing the silly things that they do. And they ought to be shipped off somewhere else and get a taste of it for a little while. Scripture records three children. Under the circumstances, she might have wanted more, but maybe she couldn't have had. I believe under the circumstances, what history records, she may have wanted more. We do know that the last one was Moses. And here's just a little history on the three that Scripture records. Moses, who became one of the greatest, Mom, listen to this now. Moses became one of the greatest national leaders and legislators the world has ever known. And let me add, we wouldn't have the first five books of the Bible without him, and may not have much of what Scripture records about Israel without him. Or should I say, her. In a day when you can choose to have a child or not, or at least keep the life of that child. I think we forget sometimes that Moses chose to. He could have chose a lot of other things if his mom hadn't chose what she chose. He was raised in Egypt. Next, there was a son by the name of Aaron, who became Israel's first high priest and the founder of the Aaronic priesthood, and much can be said of him, both good and bad. However, he was a picture of Christ. A mom raised a child that was the very picture, Brother Baldwin, of Christ. Wouldn't you like to have that on your record as a parent? My child is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jochebed did. I don't know if we can all say that of our kids, but she was able to say that of hers. Then there was Miriam. She had a daughter, the gifted poetess and musician who was intimately associated with her two brothers in the history of Israel. Yes, she had an issue or two with her brother. She spoke out of turn a time or two, but she was there doing her part to make her brothers succeed along with Israel. So I think it is safe to say Jochebed was a good mom. And in comparison today, and even in her day, there were many aspects that made her unique, if you will. A mom who made a difference in a very difficult day. To be honest with you, in a day like we have today, we need some more Jochebeds. We need a lot of, Miss Emily, Brother Mike, isn't it sad sometimes in the world you're in if there were just more Jochebeds? How many Moseses have you had come through your house? Miriams come through your house. Aarons, potential ones that have come through your house. And they could never see that potential of being an Aaron, being a Moses or being a Miriam. You know why? Because mom didn't think he was a godly person, or she, and didn't hide him. Instead, she was too addicted to the problems that she had. We don't just live our lives. Many times we live and affect the lives of others. Sometimes it's important to sober up. So I think it's safe to say Jochebed was a good mom in comparison to today. To be honest with you, in a day like we have today, we need some more Jochebeds. So without any delay, and so I can get you out of here quicker than 1 o'clock, and you can spend it with your moms, I want to preach on this thought. A mom who made a difference. Nothing fancy. She was just a mom that made a difference. She made a big difference. Just imagine not having the first five books of the Bible. Imagine not having the Ten Commandments. Imagine not having that stuff. Oh, we'd still have that stuff. Okay. Jochebed was the seedbed for that. In a day and age, can I say this, that at least is comparable at ours, but probably a whole lot worse. A mom who made a difference. First, I believe she was a mom who made a difference because of verse 23, the first part of it, because of her productivity. I want to take you back to Exodus chapter 1 so I can lay the foundation for this productivity. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with him. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Isn't it sad that that's no longer the case? Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. Can I tell you why the Quran and Muslims are overtaking the world? Is because they believe in what they believe. They raise children. They push that stuff and push that stuff and push that stuff, and they believe in it. You know what Americans believe in? Self. Where are the days of 6 and 8 and 9 and 14 and 18 kids anymore? You say, oh my goodness, if you were a woman, you wouldn't say that. I'm not. But I'm thankful for the ones that did. I'm thankful for the generations of the Wesleys that she had how many? 13? And could minister and meet with each one of them individually. And the church has John and what's it, Charles? Is it John and Charles? Two of the Wesley brothers? Is it John and Charles? Two of their doctrines? I might not believe in all their doctrines, but at least what they gave us, hymns and purity and conduct. And what are we getting anymore nowadays? TikTok. Moms on TikTok with kids rolling around on the floor. Productivity. The children of Israel waxed and were fruitful. Come down to verse 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Now affliction to a modern day mom in America is, can I have children and still work? And where am I going to put them? And where am I going to place them? And I'm not going to hide them in a basket and hide them because they're a goodly child. I'm going to let them go to a place that Miss Alicia works at and let somebody else facilitate that. And then see what we get. Come down to verse 14, the Bible says, verse 13, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill them. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. See, you don't always have to go to the crowd when you're lost. But save the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto the Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. No, they aren't. For they are lively. Yes, they are. And are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. Now hear me out when I say this, and don't judge me because you may have an Egyptian mindset. There are many things that can be said of not only Jochebed, but many other women through history, but none greater than her productivity. Jochebed produced something. Not only did she produce three children, she produced three children that were producers, not consumers. We are producing a generation of consumers. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And the uproar right now is because the Egyptian pharaohs that were in control were giving and giving and giving, so you'd follow the little crumbs and be a consumer. And we are a generation of consumption instead of producers. Let somebody overseas produce something. For a very young country, at one time and age, we produce some of the greatest things this world has ever seen. Now, we want to be consumers. And if I can't get my Chinese products at a timely manner and a timely price, I'm going to panic. Just give me my gas prices and I'll go along. God, give us a generation of women again that realize the importance of having children and making them productive. Egypt has duped this modern day mom into believing she can do something else better. And in turn, she has given up on what God designed her and designed only her to be able to do. Men, we can't do near what a woman can do in so many ways. And you know what they're doing now? And watch this. And then now men are trying to be women. And women are okay with that. It's Rod Sterling in the Twilight Zone. And nobody really is bothered by it. No, no, come on, you're hurting people's feelings. No, we're destroying generations behind us because of moms that don't understand productivity. And I'm not talking about just having children barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. If you think that's what I said, you missed everything I said. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Thus depriving themselves, Egypt had duped the modern-day mom into believing she can do something else better, and in turn, she has given up on what God designed her and only her to do, thus depriving themselves and society and heaven of the Moses, the Aarons, and the Miriams. She was a mom who made a difference. God, give us more moms, more productive moms. Here's a verse for you. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know why we don't have enough people speaking to the enemies? Because mom and dad have not raised a quiver. And here's what's so insulting about it. Ladies, you ever have anybody walk up to you? We've got how many? It's the Simmons 7s. It's the Cook 7. Is it the Cook 7? Simmons 7s. It's the Inman 7s now. It's who's got the 8? No, that's Thompson, isn't it? Thompson 8? I mean, it's just, and people have the nerve and audacity. I wish some days I was like Superman. I could put the cape on one day to be the great Christian and you just put the Clark Kent glasses on the other time. And this is when somebody walks up to a woman and says, you do know what causes that, right? I've never wanted to write somebody, why can't you talk anymore? Because I caved your windpipe in. What is that? Of course we know, but what's the Bible say? But you believe that hype. I'm not going to be everything I need to be if I have a quiver full of children. They're just going to keep me down. No, she's a mom that made a difference because of her productivity. Mama shapes them, and daddy shoots them. Maybe I should have come up with a better phrase than that, huh? See? I can stand up here just like Jacob, Mike, or any one of them and say, man, I appreciate y'all being patient with me while I'm learning to pastor. Mama shapes them, and daddy sends them. There we go. Send it. There we go. That's a better one. It's teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work. Mom, are you making a difference? And let me say this. You don't always have to birth them to be one. I've met a lot down through the years. I'll say this, and I believe I can say this. We've sat in the office together, Miss Angela, when you lost your first child, you and Joe. But you know how much of a mom you are to those kids in Florida? You know how much of a mom you've been to the kids in this church? Miss Karen, you posted something the other day, and what? How many kids have I taught? You do not have to birth a child to be a father and to be a mother to that child. I had many a moms and many a fathers through the years that didn't birth me, but boy, they built me. Number two, Hebrews 11:23, verse B, was hid 3 months of his parents. Let me give you these quick. She was a mom that made a difference. Why? Because of her productivity. Secondly, because of her protection. He was hid 3 months of his parents. In Exodus 2, we've already read that. She put him in an ark, bulrushes, and sent him out in a day when many others are throwing their kids to the crocodiles because of Egypt and what they say. Jochebed decided to protect hers. She hid him. My wife and I have been accused of a lot of things down through the years from family members, but none that I'm more pleased with than you hid your kids from everything. Ask Cody, we didn't hide him from everything. Ask Josh, we didn't hide him from everything. Ask Tina, we didn't hide him from everything. But I'm going to tell you what, in this day we live in now, of devices, we're not hiding them anymore. We're shoving it right down their throat.
That's right.
Because everybody else has one, I got to have one. And I don't want to, well, it's a good learning device. It's helpful in this and it's helpful in that. Sure it is. There's a lot of things that are helpful. Steak's helpful to Lydia and Eleanor. So throw a T-bone down their throat. Because of her protection. In a day when many others are throwing kids to the crocodiles because of Egypt, Jochebed decided to protect hers. I figured when God gave them to us, mom and I, it was our responsibility to protect them. You will never have a pastor, I don't think, that will stalk this church like he does, like I do, watching every little thing that takes place and helping you to help your children be protected. You say, in church? You'd be surprised how many people show up at church. I'm watching like a hawk and need a security team like a hawk and need people that are discerning to be like a hawk. Because watch this, if you're not careful, you'll let your guard down here. And in a day like today, don't let your guard down. Let me ask you this and we'll move on. Let me say this before that. And she said, if God protected, truth be known, mom and I was reminded, I was studying this week, reading the text again, I was reminded that she, Jochebed, made an ark and pitched it. I wonder if she had such faith in God that she was reminded of the story of Noah that was probably read to her as a child. And she said, if God protected them that way, then maybe he'll protect Moses that way. God, give us a church and a generation of moms that will make a difference. Mom, are you a mom that's making a difference? The kind of mom that is willing to protect your children when it's not popular, when it may cost you. That Josh Sullivan, they didn't just grab him and his wife, they grabbed their children too. It was very difficult, I'm sure, for him. Why? Because the enemy would love to get your children. I remember when I was in Africa and we went to a lion park in Africa, wasn't lion park in America. And Tina was the littlest one there, and this, we went and saw white lions, and boy, those lions would be just like this, looking past me. You know what they were looking at? Tina behind me, seeking whom he may devour. We've got too many moms today. It's hard to protect your children when your face is glued to a screen. Number three, you'll make a difference, mom, if you'll follow in Jochebed's footsteps. You may get as good a results. Next, she was a mom that made a difference because of her productivity, because of her protection. Number three, because of her perception. Verse 23c, because they saw he was a proper child. Perception. I grew up in a home where perception was things said to me that didn't need to be said to anybody. And I always, and probably never will recover from this, the insecurity of feeling I can't never be anything. because I was told over and over, you can't ever be anything. You can be anything God would have you to be. And mom and dad, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. That doesn't mean train them to go to church. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. You watch that child in what God is doing in that child's life, like Eli was supposed to do with Samuel. And you, in the way that he should go, he is going to have natural tendencies. She's going to have natural tendencies as God works in their lives. We're not all the same. We're different. And as you see that, you help them and you train them and you guide them in the direction so they can hit the target. Oh, I don't think that, I've said it before and I talked to a lot of people. I am never going to be the guy that says yes or no. I am going to be the guy on the road, though, that says, did you see that sign? Curve ahead. Did you see that sign? Slow down, slippery when wet. Did you see that sign? I'm going to put the cautions up there. Mom and dads need to put cautions up there, not control. Number three, I said what? She was a mom that made a difference because of her perception. I can't read the mind of Jochebed. I don't know all that was racing through her head in such a terrible time as she was living in. But I can say this. Two words are mentioned of what she saw in Moses. One was goodly and the other was proper. I could preach a whole different message on what a mama saw in her son. Was it Susan Smith in South Carolina back in the day? She was too worried about somebody else, somewhere else, and took her kids and put them in the back seat and strapped them in a car seat and drove her children into a lake and then said, a black man with a mask robbed me, stole me, took the kids, only to find out later that she did that because she had her eyes set on something else instead of her children and what they could. We'll never know what those two kids could have been because she took that perception away from everybody. Do you ever just sit around? I'm not tapping myself on the back on this, but when I'm picking people in here and I say Ryan will be a deacon or Wesley will be this or Noah will be this, I'm through the eye, through the sovereign eye of perception, who could be? Miss Paula, would you ever would have thought that nasty, rotten little train wreck of a kid in the nursery that was picking on everybody else and bullying everybody else and beating on everybody and whacking them with toys would have surrendered to preach and been a missionary to help other churches 40 some odd years later? That's perception. The nursery is a ministry, perceiving what these children can be one day. And mom and the women in here, look at these kids and say, you could be this. And you know what it'll help you to do? It'll help you to keep them out of, hey, if you're ever going to be this, you can't be doing that. Where are those anymore? Too many moms never amounted to anything, so they don't want theirs to amount to anything. And let me say this, I'm not partial. I've always believed that in all my children, that's the reason I've tried to protect them through the years. I'll say this publicly, I don't care if they hear me. Both of my sons surrendered to preach many years ago. They'll tell you I was too young to know any different. But I watched one stand up in front of hundreds in Africa and deliver a message. And I preached a watch night service with another one, and I watched God move on his life. You know what I'd love to see? Them be the sons of thunder and be 100 times more than I ever could be, Brother Mike. Perception. I try and tell my grandchildren as often as I can, and I try and tell my own children as often as I can. And I said it to the other one day. I can see what you're going to be one day, and I hope you get there. Before I'm gone, I can't see it. Mom, Dad, you ought to be able to look at Noah and say, man, what could God do with a Noah? What could God do with a Micah, Lindsay? What could God do with a Micah, minor prophet? What could God do with that? You got to be able to see, what could God do with a Declan? Fidgety Declan. All over the place Declan. Screaming, flipping, flopping like a fish out of water Declan. What could God do with him one day? Could he be a Sunday school teacher one day? Could be a treasurer, could be a deacon, could be a pope. What could he be one day? You're never going to know if you don't have perception. Jochebed looked at that little boy, said that little boy could change the world. You know why our world's in a mess today? Because we don't have enough moms. holding their kids and saying, you can make a difference. Oh, no, I'm sorry, we do. We do, and they send them to universities. And the David Hoggs and the Gretchen, whatever her name, our world is dying. Mom and Dad promoted that mess. Whatever her name was, that Switzerland girl freak or whatever she was. Mom and Dad, what was her name? Gretchen whatever, pushing her on people. Grown adults with an education believe in that mess. She perceives something. Where's our moms perceiving what they could be? Caleb, you don't even know this morning what you can be. But I guarantee if Mom and Dad could write it down on a piece of paper, your pastor, it's bigger than you could ever even imagine. Lastly, this. I'll say this before we go. Mom, can it be said of you that you're making a difference? Do you have enough biblical perception that you can see what your child can be? God, give us a generation of Jochebed moms. And lastly, she was a mom who made a difference because of not only her productivity, her protection, her perception, but lastly this, because of her principles. In a day when principles are mocked, in a day when conservative Christianity is mocked for legalism, principles still matter. Principles still matter. Verse 23d, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They knew biblical principles, and they said things like, I heard these as a kid, but they weren't biblical principles. Well, if everybody else is jumping off the bridge, are you going to? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about biblical principles that'll make a difference. And years down the road, you can say to them, this is why, Emily, you can say years down the road, this is why I was a biblical wife. Stay-at-home mom, a keeper of the home, because I wanted to see something out of you. This is why Dad worked by the sweat of his brow from Genesis and said, I'm going to do this so she can do this so we can have this. Because of her principles. You read it later on, Exodus 2 and verses 5 through 12. Egypt was telling him, just throw your kids into the river. Let the world have them. They're still doing that today. They're still mocking kids that are raised in Christian homes because they don't have the rainbow haircuts and they're not mutilating themselves and they're not fabricating in their mind because they watched it somewhere on some Hollywood-generated, hellish-wood movie set. Have you ever noticed how Disney's changed when how girls were portrayed in Disney years ago? How they're portrayed now? Don't think there's not an agenda going out there to, you say, well, hey, you're one of them conspiracy theorists. No, all they have to do is share the same philosophies and beliefs and go to the same schools. They believe what they believe. They're not sitting there going, they believe what they're believing is right, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that would believe. You know the problem with us? We have no principles to believe in. Won't read those principles, won't get up in the morning and say, what's thus saith the Lord for my family? I don't know how to be a dad. How am I going to find out how to be a dad? I'm going to read Proverbs, my son. I'm going to read, what would God say? Is God just going to save me and leave me to fend for myself? No, there's principles in here. The church is the what? Pillar and ground of the truth. Not some podcast. Jochebed was given the child back to wean. And I believe with all my heart, she whispered Bible in his ears. She quoted verses to him. In a day where, can I say this? Am I going to hurt somebody's feelings when I just say the word? In a day where breastfeeding is so looked down upon, how much more intimate could it, should it be? Holding that child. And you ladies do it so, so godly. You got those little things and everything. We missioned in a country that didn't have those things. And pastor would preach just like this. And can I tell you next on this and that and the other thing? How much more could you whisper principles into your child. And while you were doing that, and Solomon talks about it, doesn't he? One sister had no breasts, one sister had breasts. There's a lot. Milk, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. We expect these children to quote verses of scripture. How about if we whisper God's word into their ear while they're little? And instill principles in them that when they get to a certain age, they're productive. And they're Moses, and they're Aaron, and they're Miriam. You know why? Because a mom thought enough of God to put her self-worth and everything else to the side and saying, I am raising a goodly heritage. And this child is going to make an impact. This child's going to be a thermostat in a world that needs a temperature set. Mom, soon to be mom, one day mother, are you even attempting to make a difference in a child's life? It will take, if you're going to, it'll take these characteristics that Jochebed had in this Egyptian day that we live in. You'll never know who you may be raising. You could raise the next preacher. You could raise the next missionary. Everybody that kept Joe, Angela wasn't here, in that nursery and carried out biblical principles has just as much a part in his success for God as mom and dad do. And then you'll wonder why I get hard on people here. Because we're living epistles known and read of all men. And I am doing my dead level best to hang on for dear life until Jesus comes or I die. So that my kids ain't standing over a graveside saying, my pawpaw used to be. And boy, didn't he mess up. And my wife ought to have the same criteria as well as a 60-year-old woman yesterday? Sorry. Her name is not Libby anymore. We're going to call her by her official name. Her official name on her driver's license is Arnett Elizabeth Lovett. When you get 60, she's going to be Arnie. Miss Arnie. So when you hear me say, Miss Arnie, we love yous here, you'll know who I'm talking about. Mom, make a difference. Don't do damage. Don't do destruction. Develop somebody. You can develop them as much as anybody else. Mike and Emily have allowed me to speak into Caleb and Noah's life and Michaeli's, and many of you have. And I want to speak into them the same things that you're speaking into them so that we can later on all sit back and go, wow, look what they've become. Father, we'd ask you to help us, I plea. Thank you that we can read scripture and see examples in times that are much more difficult than ours where people made it. God, would you raise up some Jochebeds in our house that have these characteristics that would help this next generation make it? Lord, the crocodiles of Egypt are devouring these young people today, and so many adults sit by and allow it to happen. Help us in this church not to allow it to happen. Help us to create an environment, a safe environment for them to grow. I plea, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.